Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. This is Dr. Tim Hayes here with Dr. Michael Rice, and this is Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. We are here to help support people using these tools, and we're here hoping you'll give us a call at 646-200-4169. And if you have a question or a comment, press 1. That will let us know that you have a question or a comment, and when we have time, we will get to you. And right now, let me welcome Michael. Here's hoping Michael is on and not muted.
I am. How are you today, Dr. Tim?
I am well. You're very quiet.
I'm quiet. Well, let's see if I can raise the... Can you hear me?
Well, you were breaking up there. Keep talking.
Okay, I'll keep talking and just say welcome to everybody. We are honored and delighted that you're here to share this this hour with us, where we look into the ancient Aramaic concept of forgiveness and how to change the dynamics of one's life that tend to lead to the "Why Is This Happening to Me Again?" experience. Of course, that's the title of my book, and you're welcome to go to our website and download it free in many different languages. And as you read it, we hope that you'll come up with all kinds of questions, all kinds of ideas and answers that you'll share with us and give us an opportunity to refine those questions with you and offer the support of how do you go through changing your mind to such a degree that you free yourself from the influences of the past. The tool that we're teaching to do that is called forgiveness. Forgiveness having nothing to do with letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you, but rather literally changing what's happening inside of you, changing the influences on your thinking processes, your feeling processes, your physiology, and the space that you create within the society. To begin to change that in the direction of the truth of human life is what we're here to support. And when we say the truth of human life, we're talking about an experience. And people think that just because one has a human-looking form that they're human beings. But if there's no human being in there, then that human form is not really functioning as a human life. It's more functioning as an automaton that just plays out past dynamics. And so we're looking to undo those dynamics and replace them with the presence of human life. When we find human life, well, it's easy. It's a very experiential definition. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. It is that awesome presence of love, and each of us is designed to function out of that, to think out of that, to feel out of that, and to act out of that. Our culture doesn't particularly appreciate it, however, if you have a human life. Our culture would rather you would live as a non-human. Our culture would rather you live as a being addicted to hostility and fear, always on the defense, and always playing the game of pretending that if there's something going on in your life or inside of you that you don't like, that you find somebody else to blame for it. The whole culture's training is how you made me. And of course, one of my favorite tongue-in-cheek lines is, if you've been through a particular painful reality, 87 different times with 40 different people. You're the only one that works every time. The output of your mind is about you. And the output of your mind influences absolutely everything in your life. The way to change, the way to access the root of the output of your mind so that it can be changed, in the ancient Aramaic is called forgiveness. It has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because there is a particular content within your mind. It is the tool with which you literally change the root of the content of your mind and the output of your mind. That's what we're here to support. We're delighted that you're with us. Dr. Tim, do you have anything to share? And am I coming across strongly enough to be heard all right?
Yes, I think it's strong enough. There are a couple times when you break up, but it isn't for long enough to lose the whole meaning. So so hopefully that will continue. It's just a pleasure to be on the team. We've been cooking along here with sessions and introducing people to the reality management worksheet and breath work and the mind shifter tool. And it comes to mind, it's been real obvious. I had a couple sessions yesterday with people who are really digging in and doing their work. And I think the thing that's been hitting me over the past couple of weeks that I haven't said in for a while in the radio show is that it's the tools that are so important. It's not the personality of Dr. Rice or the personality of Dr. Tim or Rex or anybody who's such a great teacher. It's the tools that are important. It's the message. And occasionally I had somebody who wanted to stand up and give a testimonial at a business group I was in last week. I wanted to tell people, you know, what a marvelous job I did with so-and-so. And I had to stand up and say, listen, it really is not me. If you knew how many people I introduced the same tools to who thought it was crazy, who left and never applied them, who thought it was great and fabulous and went home and never applied them, then it would make real good, strong sense to you that the people that get results are the ones who pick up these tools and apply them in their life. And the teachers are nice.
For sure. I'm in full agreement with that one.
Yeah, teachers are nice, and sometimes I'd rather listen to one teacher than another, but it isn't the teacher that's ever going to do anything to change anything in my life. It's me. It's, am I going to pick up the tool and apply it to a time when I feel triggered by something Rex said or something Michelle said or something one of my patients said? Or am I going to say, oh, wow, I've got a little upset in me. Let me go digging in and dismantle that, because I'm the only one who's creating it. I'm the only one who's carrying it around in their energy system, and I'm the only one who has access to dismantling it. So that would be my offering for today, is that I'm just hitting it at deeper and deeper levels, that it's, you know, the ego is so such a powerful Satan in this, and you can talk a little bit about the meaning of that word, Satan.
For sure. Of course, that word in Aramaic is not an uppercase word, as Greeks have presented it. What it means is the resistor, one who misleads. And you look at the average person, and they go, when you invite them to be responsible for what's going on in their minds, their lives, their relationships, their finances, their bodies, most people stop right there on the spot and start talking about how somebody else did it to them, how it's all somebody else's fault. And, you know, right down to the physical disease, well, there's the bug that did it to me. Something, it's always something outside of them, never the internal conditions that make the bug welcome, that are where the real cause resides. We're actually in the intensive that we're doing here, getting ready. The energy
Michael,
is just moving. We've got a very small group. Yes, sir.
Michael, back
yes,
up and say that again. You were breaking up. I think you were talking about disease and the bugs. but that whole section was distorted.
My apology. Well, let's see if it'll come across any clearer. Is that any better?
Yeah.
So when we live in the world of denial, we pretend that everything in our lives is caused by something outside of us or something that got into us from the outside. So even down to and including our diseases. Well, it's the bug's fault that I got this disease. And one never has been taught and never realizes that there are certain conditions that welcome the bugs and there are certain conditions that don't. The conditions that welcome the bugs, that literally create a food supply for the bugs, are the toxic conditions of hostility, fear, and all the things that go along with them. We're getting ready in the intensive. We've got a small group here in Costa Rica that we're doing the intensive with, and we're getting ready to do the section on codependence to interdependence. And the world has taught us all the way around the block to live in codependent relationships. And those codependent relationships are promoted by the language that we've been taught and the words that we speak. Our minds are controlled by that language and by those words. So when I say words like, you made me, I'm now saying that you, external person, have caused something to happen inside of me. And when I believe that, I will take everything that is going on inside of me, make up a world of pictures that I think are about you, and tell you that it's all your fault. Of course, while I'm telling someone else that it's their fault that I'm hurting, I'm still hurting. And the reason that I'm hurting is because there's an energy going on inside of me that does not belong in me. It takes time in this insane culture of denial and projection to build the brain cells to recognize, I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe because I'm the only one who is there every time, this has something to do with me. And when you change your language and you start to look within, and especially when you start to use the tool of forgiveness, then you begin to change those dynamics. Everything shifts. But it's not an easy shift to make for most people. That's why, as you say, Dr. Tim, you've introduced many people to it that go off. It's like, no, I'm going to find somebody that agrees with my pity party, somebody that agrees that I'm a victim and all I have to do is, you know, divorce them, get rid of them, fight them, get strong enough, sue them, do something to them. Instead of, do something to myself. Change the root of the trauma and the pain that I project everywhere in the world and go inside and clean up the internal conditions. And that's what we're inviting people to do.
And you make those tools available on the website at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And I just wanted to mention that because we hadn't put that out there yet today. And we have a 517 area code with their hand up. Are you
Well, I
interested?
Think that might be Mitzi. She was planning to call today.
Okay, you want to...
So let's say hello.
So 517-243, you are in the air.
Hi, everyone. It is Mitzi.
Hi, Mitzi.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's a delight to have you with us, and tell us what you've been up to.
Thank you. I've been doing a lot of writing, actually, and it's been a fabulous tool for my own healing. It has been, the universe provided me with 4 months without any clients, which has never happened in my 30 years of being a doula, where I had 4 months without being on call. And so I assumed that that meant my idea to write was a good one, and I've spent, I've just kind of assumed that writing is my job now, and I spend a minimum of 3 hours a day at my computer. I show up at 10 o'clock and show up to work, and sometimes I write several pages, and sometimes I write a couple paragraphs, but ultimately when the pain surfaces in me, my sadness and regret and what have you, because a lot of the things I'm writing are triggers for continued healing for me, then I'm so grateful to have the tools of forgiveness to know how to actually dissolve bit by bit my own sorrow and sadness. So I'm grateful for that. And that being said, one of the things that I wrote recently was a very brief invitation that I'd like to share with the listeners if they don't already know about it. In December, I was aware of critical mass, even though I didn't have a lot of understanding of critical mass. I'd heard it before, of course, but I wasn't really aware of it, but it kept surfacing in my mind. And so one day I just asked, what is this about? Is there something I am supposed to do with this, you know, phrase that keeps surfacing in my mind? And I asked out loud, I wonder how long it would take before there's enough people on the planet to choose love over fear. And in the moment, I knew I received an answer, and I knew that it was the truth, that there were enough people already, that if all of our love were synchronized in the exact same moment, it would change humanity, and it would only take a moment. And so I had the idea to create an invitation to invite as many people as possible to presence love together. And it ended up being a good learning experience for me to put together a global invitation. And if a person wanted to go, if they haven't seen it yet, if they wanted to go to your website, Michael, I do believe you've posted it on the front page. It's called An Invitation to Love. Also, if you're a Facebook member, you could go to Facebook and write an Invitation to Love, and there's an event page. And we would love it if you would just join our event, which is 90 seconds of presencing love on Earth Day, which is April 22nd. And so that's the invitation, just to love together and to watch my invitation. It's a 6-minute video clip that is titled Invitation to Love.
So the it's an awesome video, what you put together, Jake, the information that it gives and the sense of empowerment that it leaves one with who watches it. And so it's on YouTube. You can search it on YouTube, right?
Well, I did search it on YouTube, and there's a lot of things that come up as Invitation to Love. In fact, there's a band called that. So I searched it on YouTube and didn't find it because there's only, you know, a few hundred hits. It's just, we just launched it. A better way to do it would be to go to Facebook and then in the search engine, Invitation to Love, and then up comes the page and the video is there. Or your website, yagain.org, is on the front page of that.
Cool.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, tell me more about what you were shown if you could create this synchronization of people tapping into love, and have a suggestion for how people do that.
I apologize, I can't understand you. Your words are breaking up.
Do you have a suggestion for how people tap into this love?
Well, I do have a suggestion. I know how I tap into love. Is that I imagine holding my children, my newborn children. And another way that I've heard that people do it is just to focus on their heart area and to breathe from the heart space. Whatever a person does to generate within themselves that feeling or that presence, that energy that we all have named love, and then just allow it to fill themselves at the appointed time. For me, the easiest way to generate that feeling is remembering my children as babies, or any child as babies. I'm blessed enough to hold lots and lots and lots of newborns, but it really is the true example of human life, and it makes it very clear to me that when we're told that we're created in the image and likeness of God, that before it has always seemed like such a remote thought of like, well, God is this nebulous and, you know, indescribable presence, that how could we be created in that image? But when you use God and love as synonymous, then when you state we were created in the image and likeness of love, of pure love, and then you see a newborn, a young baby, or even a young child, you realize, I realize the truth in that statement, that babies are just the embodiment of love or God. So that's what I use to remember that strong sensation of love.
Awesome. Well, I congratulate you on your video. Am I coming across clearly at the moment?
Yes.
Oh, good. So I congratulate you on your video. Again, you can go to Facebook and put in Invitation to Love. You can go to whyagain.org, and you'll see it right there on the front page. There's a link. We're actually getting ready to do another link on our Facebook page, and we're going to do some promotion of it. So the other invitation is anybody who has Facebook or Twitter or wherever, however you reach out, LinkedIn, to talk, contact other people, that you grab that link and you send it to them. And let's make this a critical mass event that's capable of changing the world. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the research that you did on the global events that showed up in the energy field of the Earth in a measurable way. And let's talk a little bit about your vision for that.
Again, I only heard every third or fourth word, but I do believe that you've just asked me my vision for the global event. Is that correct?
Well, that and the science behind that, where there were a couple of global events that showed up on energetic measuring devices.
Okay. I actually learned this from Dale Hoffman, watching one of his 30-minute clips. He was explaining that there is a system, a satellite system, called the GOES satellite system, and it measures the Earth's electromagnetic field. It keeps track of the electromagnetic field of the Earth, which some scientists have nicknamed the pulse of the Earth or the heartbeat of the Earth. And several years ago, there was some dramatic spikes in the electromagnetic field when they're measuring it, and there were these dramatic spikes. And when they placed that information with a time map, they were able to determine the time that those spikes took place. And the first spike happened when television stations all over the world began transmitting the image of the World Trade Center in flames. And then a second spike occurred when that same building fell to the ground. And there were several disturbances in the electromagnetic field for days following that. And my thought was, you know, if our collective in-breath of, oh no, could create a dramatic spike in the electromagnetic field, then perhaps our collective love would do the same. And so researchers, and particularly there's a place, an institute called HeartMath Institute and Global Coherence, and the researchers there have determined that a common feeling, that enough humans hold a common feeling or emotion, that it does affect the Earth's electromagnetic field, and it can be detected. And so my hope is that we can just create a bump in the electromagnetic field with our collective love. And it used to be believed in the science that it would take 3 or 4 million people. And I don't remember exactly what the percentage is, but I spoke with someone at HeartMath recently, and they said that they have determined that in actuality it is closer to 300,000 or 400,000 people if they had a collective response in the same moment would affect the Earth in either a coherence or incoherence. It would either have a positive or a negative, for lack of a better word, effect on the Earth's electromagnetic field. I kind of see that electromagnetic field is just like the emotional body of the Earth. If it you know, if it responds to our emotional body, kind of just like an extension of humanity. And so I realized that I probably should have put a frame in my video with me in a pair of rose-colored glasses. That would have probably, you know, the little pink glasses, because I realize it's a stretch to ask that many people to do it. But in the moment that I heard the answer that there were enough people, it felt like, well, of course, what else is there to do but ask the people? So that's why I'm asking. And in that moment, when I saw like this whole energetic response to love, to me it looked like circles of light, overlapping circles of light, overlapping circles of light everywhere across the globe. Our circle, my, you know, the Aramaic circle, the Wayagan circle, our support group, and then they know people in their circles and circles. And so I just saw all these circles of light interfacing with circles all over, and that it would indeed change humanity. So that's my invitation.
So then if people go to the video and watch it, there is a mechanism there by which they can determine exactly what time on
right.
the 22nd to do this exchange, to spend this 90 seconds tapped into love?
Yes. There is a link on the website. There's a link on the video, pardon me, that is a time converter. And just for those who are listening now, if they just want to jot it on their calendars, it's 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 1600 universal time code, which is something kind of new to me, but if you just put in those dates into any time converter, April 22nd, 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and get the time in your part of the world. And yes, there is a link on the YouTube clip for that as well.
So my suggestion to everyone would be, you have on your cell phone a clock with an alarm system. And you can set the date. Mine actually doesn't allow me to go out that far, but I just set it as a repeating alarm for the next several weeks. And let's join in putting it out there and make that transition happen.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody. Another thought I had in that moment of realizing that there were enough people, that in any given moment there could be enough people. That understanding was like, okay, I could in any given moment choose anger or love. In that, who knows what moment there'll be enough people at a given time? Who knows? If it's kind of like that poem in the back of your book about the snowflakes. You know, who knows if it's only one voice or one person's choice of choosing love in any given moment that tips the scale? And so it really did inspire me to continue to choose love, to continue to, in any given moment, have compassion over fear, because I kind of got it. It was like, okay, well, there's already enough people, then it could. We don't know when that moment will be. We don't know when that collection of people will all choose fear or choose love at the same moment and tip the scale. So
we can start to call ourselves scale tippers.
Call ourselves what?
Scale tippers.
Scale tippers, sure. We can call ourselves that. Or we can call ourselves love beings.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps somebody has the book. Maybe you've got the book handy and you could read. I won't recite it because my voice is obviously cutting in and out. But maybe someone could grab the book and read us that little section on Will You Make the Difference?
If someone has
the book handy, that would be awesome. Cool.
I have the book handy. Let me just find the poem.
Tell me the weight of a snowflake.
So while you're doing that, Mitzi, let me just say that when people go to Facebook, if you search on the Facebook page and you type in the word event, E-V-E-N-T, space, invitation to love, that's the best way to get it. There are way too many pages and groups titled Invitation to Love, but this is an event. So if you search for the event, Invitation to Love, it will take you right to that page.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great input.
I found the poem or the little story. So it's titled, Will You Make the Difference? Tell me the weight of a snowflake, a hawk asked a wild dove. Nothing more than nothing was the answer. In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story, said the hawk. I sat on the branch of a fir tree close to its trunk. It began to snow. Not heavily, not a raging blizzard. No, just like in a dream, without any violence. Since I had nothing better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch. Their number was exactly 3,741,952. When the next snowflake dropped onto the branch, nothing more than nothing, as you say, the branch broke off. Having said that, the hawk flew away. The dove, since Noah's time, an authority on peace, thought about the story for a while and finally said with resolve, perhaps only one person's voice is lacking for peace to come about in the world.
Me too.
So, choose love, people.
Every time I read it, I have that response.
I know, because it's so true, and then also it is, you know, in direct opposition to what we see in the world and what, you know, I know that poem to be true, and then, you know, the apparent reality seems very different. I've been fasting from the news for quite a while. I don't really watch it, and my mom recently chastised me. She's like, for someone that's so smart, you don't even pay attention to the current events. I'm like, well, it's a downer. I figure if there's something I need to know, I will, and it doesn't do anything to serve the purpose. So
you're creating the current event that could change the world.
Thanks. I'm going to go ahead and mute myself, or you can mute me, whoever's running that, and we'll see if anyone else has questions or comments. Okay?
Thanks, Missy.
Dr. Tim, maybe I'll just be silent. Seeing as I'm cutting in and out, I'll just be silent and leave it with you.
All right. Well, that would mean I'd have to be willing to take the reins, eh?
Well, is there anyone else with their hands up? Are there anyone else with their hands up, Jim?
Yeah, we do have somebody with their hand up.
Perfect. And I'm going to go on mute.
All right. Well, we'll give you a little mute, and thanks again for your input and for starting this and getting us all focusing on what we need to do to take love to the next level.
My pleasure.
All right. So, area code 765. You are now in the air.
In the air? Hi, Dr. Tim. This is Sunny from Indiana.
Hello, Sunny. Welcome.
And
how
I'm
can
hoping,
we support you today?
Well, I'm hoping Mitzi is still on and hearing this. I'm very excited. I have gone on and seen the video. There to further support her work, I have a personal friend that I'll attempt to connect the two of them. This man does energy work and is highly recognized by several universities. And he has been posting on Facebook that Hollywood producers have been meeting with him, curious to demonstrate the power and the ability of harnessing energy. And I would hope that maybe we could even get these producers on board with Mitzi in her effort here and connect them to confirm what it is she is, the message she is getting out to the world. And I just feel this all over my body. I mean, I'm warm all over and tingly. I feel it so much. I'm excited for all of us in this. And another thing, Dr. Kim, the Moses Code, are you familiar with it? Because I would like to maybe hear your take and kind of putting some of this together with all of Michael and Gail Allen Hoffman's teaching. Are you familiar with that video or the Moses Code idea?
No.
No, not
specifically the Moses Code.
The same producers of The Secret have gone on and done this abridgment extension, and they're suggesting that when Moses asks the name of God, who shall I say sent me? And God, the response back was, we use the vernacular or the way we enunciate the message is, I am that I am. And what they suggest is that the Moses Code is, in fact, a very properly placed comma.
Oh, okay. So, yeah,
I
have.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been exposed to that. I've seen that video, read about that, and there's that exercise that, in focusing and meditation, that a lot of people have done for centuries now, which is to walk outside or inside and observe things without labeling them and simply recognizing that I am what I am looking at. So,
and
yes,
as it
I
relates,
am familiar with that.
As it relates to the worksheet, and please correct me if I'm, it's working for me. That's what I can say. But the picture that I gain is where that theory relates to our worksheet is when we put a person's name in there, our trigger, we're instructed to put our own initials next to that because we are that. I mean, that's how I'm seeing it. It's like, okay, I am that person. That is within the kingdom. We are all within the kingdom. And it's just really helping me find that answer to, behind my own eyes, that we are the all-encompassing everything, everything that triggers us. Right now, we all possess these same traits or what have you that trigger us. We have that within us, is what Michael's work is teaching us. And I just kind of find that if that would be helpful to people to excel them further on in their work with the worksheet process, that, am I making sense to you at this point?
Yes,
that
it's all,
I
know,
am
it,
that.
My way of saying it would be that it's all an inside job, and you have just found another way to make it more clear to yourself that it's all an inside job. So congratulations, whatever works. Anything that has you focused more on how you're creating any tension, anger, fear, sadness, hurt, and then, of course, being willing, that cosmic grease that Michael talks about, being willing to actually pick up the tool and apply it to myself, that's the only way I'll ever get free of the pain I'm creating in my life.
Exactly.
So is there anything else we can support you with today?
No, just really kind of working with that concept, and it's really been a catalyst for the worksheet process for me and really being able to get my hands on, you know, that all of the above, truly, as Michael would say. And I just wanted to kind of offer that out if that was something that maybe also making sure I was on the right track, you know, truly, and a confirmation of that theoretically and from the Aramaic perspective.
Well, I would offer that you don't need to worry about the theoretical aspect.
Yes.
Try it.
Thank you.
Do it. If it works, keep doing it. If it doesn't work, try something else. Do something else. So thank you for that. Thank you for that offering. And again, the key is, am I willing to pick up the tools and apply them in my life? And if it works, I want to do more of it. And if it doesn't, I want to do something different. Because that is my birthright, that awareness of my true nature is love. And time after time, people have demonstrated it, and I've demonstrated it in my own life. When I start to feel anger, fear, sadness, hurt, resentment, shame, guilt, or blame, I don't like those feelings. And I possess within me the ability to create that and the ability to dismantle it. So thank you for that. And we'll open it up and ask if anybody else has a question or a comment. It's 646-200-4169. And you can press 1, and that'll let us know that you've got a question or a comment. And we have area code 417. You're in the air.
Hello?
Hello. Give us a name and let us know where you're calling from.
This is Judy from Heartland.
Well, hello, Judy from Heartland. Heartland North or South?
Heartland in Missouri.
Yeah, that would be North. Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to all the wonderful comments. It was like hearing Michael all over again. I am calling in to thank everyone for their prayers and support while I was going through some crisis here and got through it okay. I'm doing really good. Detoxing now, major detoxing, and doing my worksheets and holding down the fort here, and everything is good. And I just wanted to let everyone know how much I appreciate their support.
Well, that's great to hear. Glad that you're on the other side of the healing crisis.
Yes, I am. And I had some guilt around it because I wasn't able to take care of this crisis on my own. and I had to lean on the doctors to help me to get past this, which caused a lot more problems too, but I know I can deal with those. But this was moving too fast for me, and I didn't think that I was doing my work fast and hard enough, you know.
Well, let me just suggest, I can just hear Michael saying that you just said the words, I had some guilt because, and
yeah.
I can hear Michael's words saying, that really isn't accurate. What's accurate is that you have guilt because you have guilt energy stored in you, and the events mm-hmm. of the life today and your choices may resonate the guilt and show it to you, so then you can apply the tools and the reality management worksheet of the forgiveness process to that energy of guilt and dismantle it. So it won't be available to be resonated the next time a similar situation comes up. So it's actually a gift to become aware of the fact that you have the energy of guilt in you. And the energy of guilt in you is not being caused because you were not able to heal yourself without the aid of physicians. Does that make sense?
It does.
So then it would be recommended that you do some specific worksheets on the guilt.
Noted, and I will do that. I am doing it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that input, and I will get to work on that starting today.
Well, it's just a blessing to have you call in and let us know that you're doing better, and I know there were a lot of people associated with the show that were sending love and blessings, and very grateful that you were able to call in and let us know you're doing well.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And I appreciate everybody there. I'll talk to you all later on. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Blessings. And again, the call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear it. We have very, very quiet space in the chat room today, and I'm assuming that Jeannie has moved on to head up the kitchen since she said she needed to do that 15 minutes ago. So, one of the things I was thinking about earlier was there's a story Guy Finley tells. It's one of my favorites. And he tells about a land in which people are raised to believe they need to acquire money and finances and items in order to reach a space where they can be benevolent and loving to other people. But in the process, before they have these things, they are to just lie, cheat, steal, climb over the backs of other people, stab people in the back, to do whatever they need to do to acquire. And once they acquire enough stuff so they can be physically comfortable and have a living for themselves, then they'll be able to be loving and gentle and supportive with other people. And so into this land was born a young man who, he didn't know why, but he had a sense of knowing that it shouldn't be like that, that there ought to be a way to live life lovingly. There ought to be a way to get what someone needs to live a life lovingly and peacefully and with relative abundance, without having to be mean, without having to hurt others, without having to trample others' feelings. And this young man, as he grew older, he began to hear stories. And he heard stories about another land in which people didn't have to work to acquire something in order to have peace. They had the peace within them. In this land, people understood that the peace within them was something that they could be constantly extending to others, and in the process, they would be creating a life for themselves that was healing and nurturing, and he wanted to go there. So he set out, and it was a long journey. He had a lot of ups and downs, and he met a lot of different people who were still stuck in the lie that they had to trample other people and hurt other people in order to get what they wanted. But eventually he came to a place, and he was pretty sure that he'd found the place where this bridge existed, this bridge to this land where people knew their true nature and they were constantly busy discovering more about their life purpose by being co-creators of this loving, joyful energy rather than trying to acquire something from the outside. And he was pretty sure he found the place because camped around it were like 10,000, maybe 15,000 people all camped out. And they were camped out just this side of a ridge. And at the edge of the ridge was this cliff where it dropped off farther than the eye could see. It was like something out of one of the adventure movies with what's his name, who was the archaeologist, Indiana Jones, where you look over the edge and it goes as far as the eye can see. And at that cliff, at that edge, right at the center of this space where all these people were camped out, floating in midair about 3 feet off the cliff, was a stepping stone. And it was just hanging there in midair, completely independent of any support. And it seemed to be connected. It seemed to have some wires or little strings going off of it, but you couldn't see where it went because there was this immensely dense cloud bank just the other side of the stepping stone. So he started asking people, is this the bridge to the land where people are loving and peaceful? And they said, yes, this is the bridge. And come to our meeting tonight so we can tell you that it's a bridge, because there are people around here who will tell you that it's not the bridge. And you need to come to our meeting before other people tell you that it isn't the bridge. And he said, well, that's very interesting. And how do you know this is the bridge? Have you crossed it? And they said, well, no. But we have scholars. We have people who've studied this bridge. We've got universities that are convinced, and we have research that indicates, okay, so what's the proof? Has anybody ever been there? Well, no. And he said, well, why not? Why hasn't somebody gone across the bridge? And he said, well, we're not sure it'll hold. And in this group of people all camped out, there were people wearing little medallions with bridges on them, as if wearing the medallion with the picture of the bridge meant they had what they could reach if they crossed the bridge. It would give them an identity. And our young man finally realized, you know what, you can sit here and talk about this all you want, but it's not going to change anything. And he noticed that in the people that were camped out on this side of the cliff, there were still a lot of people trying to accumulate things, and there was a lot of anger, and there was a lot of accusations, and there were people that believed it was the bridge, fighting with those who believed it wasn't the bridge. And so he walked up to the cliff, and he stepped out onto that stepping stone suspended there in midair. And when I tell you he stepped on that stone, I'm not telling you anything about the terror in his heart. Because no one knows, unless they step out onto that stone themselves, whether or not the truth will hold up for them. And no one knows the fears they're going to have to face inside of themselves to leave what they've known, to pursue something better, something more loving, something more risky than the familiar that they're addicted to. And that's what we're inviting people to do here. We're inviting people to go to the website, www.yagain.org, print out the worksheet, apply it to any upset you have in your life, and demonstrate to yourself the fact that it is possible to steal from yourself every excuse to be angry, bitter, resentful, or negative whatsoever toward another person, and to dismantle all of those energies within yourself so that all that's left within you is the loving nature that you are. And it will be as natural as your breath to extend that loving energy to everyone and everything in every interaction. And with that, we've got someone with their hand up, area code 816. You're in the air. 816, where are you calling from, and give us a name? Okay. 816, we can hear you moving around. You have your hand up. Did you have a question or a comment? All right, well, that person is back on hold. If they come back to the phone, 816, if you want to press 1 again. The moral of the story is there is no one who can do this work for you. You were created, as Mitzi was saying earlier, you were created as that pure energy of love made manifest. I love one of the things from Way of Mastery where he says, in Lesson 4, he says, give up your identity as you've known it, as you know yourself as a Christian or a Democrat or somebody from Indiana or somebody from the United States. Give up your identity. And the next time somebody asks you who you are, tell them the truth. Tell them, I am the extension of love in form. I am infinite and eternal. I've never been born, and I will never taste death. I shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. I am the effect of God's love, and I stand before you to love you. Do that, and it will shake up some people, and it will change your life. And with that, we have someone with their hand up. Area code 910. You're in the air.
Hello, Dr. Tim?
Yes.
Hey, this is Charlotte from North Carolina. I dislike the way my voice sounds on the phone. I always sound like a teenager or something. I'm actually a lot older than I sound. I just wanted to thank you for extending that beautiful story. I was doing a worksheet today, and I've almost got tears in my eyes. I don't mean to get emotional, but it's amazing.
Well, it's not really a choice whether or not you get emotional, but you do have the choice to stay with it and breathe, and I would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not upset. I'm actually, it's out of gratitude.
Well, that's every bit as useful to stay with your breath through the gratitude as well.
Oh, okay. At the bottom of my sheet today, where it says, I offer you truth, perfect love, and I structure a truly loving goal, I offer to you. And I said, because I read out of the Course in Miracles, which I'm not advertising or trying to conflate that with this, but for me, I actually am able to use some of the phrases and terminology in the Course to offer myself things that are helpful for me. So I put in there, I offer you the ability to see truth through, I call him Jesus, through his eyes and the Holy Spirit, and to see beyond the cloud bank of guilt. And you were just talking about cloud banks.
Yep, that which can obscure our vision of the truth and our true nature. Exactly.
I just thought it was amazing that I had mentioned that and wrote it down, and I had read it today in my Course in Miracles lesson that I had read about the cloud banks of guilt, and that you can see beyond the clouds to the truth of who you really are, which is love, and to be able to put the illusions aside. And also enjoyed what you said about people stamping on top of other people to get what they want, and you know, then they can get to the point where they can be more loving once they get what they want. And we really do live in a world that's predicated on that. And I just affirm and thank you for restating that. And that's all I have to share, is some gratitude. Thank
you. Well, Carolyn, you're very welcome. Thank you for the call. I'm glad that what's presented today was in resonance with what you needed to hear. And I have a feeling if Michael were here, if he was turned on, he would say something about how the use of the material from Course in Miracles can be very beneficial with this work. Michael likes to talk about how he's only seen his definition, or this definition of forgiveness, in two places. One of them is the ancient Kabbalist manuscript, and the other one is in A Course in Miracles.
Uh-huh.
And in both of them, it's about dismantling the false realities we hold inside of us. It has nothing to do with pointing at anybody else or living in the hallucination that anybody else is causing what we're experiencing. So thank you very much for that and for the call. We're out of time today. We have just a few seconds left, and let me just invite people to come back tomorrow. And in the meantime, apply the tools and do the forgiveness work and focus on your true nature as love, and give yourself and the world the best gift you can. Have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Are you still there, Michael?